2009, Tiger was involved in a car wreck just up the road here in Windermere in Islesworth. And many people know about that. That was kind of a famous incident. But that started a chain of events that lasted a number of years for Tiger. He went through personal struggles. Obviously, he had inappropriate behavior that was exposed. It led to a very public humiliation. He went through a divorce. Then he had a back injury, and that caused him to start playing terrible golf. And the one good thing left in his life, the thing that he made his living on, was now being taken away from him. He lost endorsement deals with Gillette and Buick, just to name a few, and he started losing tournaments on a regular basis. In fact, they said he was playing the worst golf of anybody on the tour. His game was suffering. And many people, and I do mean many, said that the best days of Tiger were behind him. He'd never win another major tournament. The person that we all knew was gone, and he would never come back. But that all changed a month ago. On April the 14th, 2009, Tiger Woods won his fifth Masters tournament and completed what a lot of folks are now saying is the greatest comeback in sports history. Now, a lot of times when you begin to talk about people like that, people immediately go, well, that's great, that's nice, but what does that have to do with me? What does a millionaire, playboy, inappropriate professional athlete have to do with me in my life? And the thing about it is what Tiger did was show us the pattern for a comeback. The pattern for a comeback. If you look at somebody like Tiger Woods, you'd think, man, this is not very spiritual, and this is going to be one of those kind of messages. And I want to tell you today, what I'm going to be preaching over the next several weeks is something very prophetic, because I'm going to speak something into your life, and that is, there are things that you've been fired up about, things that you've been passionate about. Maybe you have experienced small doses to a little bit extent of it. You kind of stepped into it a little bit. But then something happened that took it away from you. You've not been able to enjoy it the way that you hoped that you would. Maybe you had a change in your life and your season. You've moved. Maybe you did something else. And I want to speak these words to you today. God is opening the door for your comeback. The things that you once enjoyed, the things that you have lost, the things that you've had stolen are in a season now of being, come on somebody, get with me here, repaid, repaired, and restored to you in grand fashion. This side's awake. Is this side awake over here? Finances, careers, relationships, lifestyles, business opportunities, dreams, all those are due to come back into your life. The door to your comeback is open. And God wants the good old days to be the good now days in your life. Come on, somebody. In this message, in this series of messages, we're going to talk about the restoration, rejuvenation, and steps that you need to take to get there. Because, come on, say it with me, the door to the comeback is open. Turn to Psalm chapter 126. We're going to read a lot of scripture to start us off with this morning. Psalm 126, verse 1. Excuse me. When the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter, and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What a joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as though they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. Joel chapter 2, Verse 25, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse number 17, for I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord, because they have called you an outcast. It is Zion for whom no one cares. Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 1, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives, that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities that were destroyed long ago. They will revive them. Though they have been deserted for many generations, foreigners will be your servants. They will feed your flocks and plow your fields and tend your vineyards. You will be called priests of the Lord, ministers of our God. You will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 17. I'm telling you what, the Bible can preach itself sometimes, can't it? Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 17. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. I will gather you who mourn for the appointed festivals. You will be disgraced no more, and I will deal severely with all who have oppressed you. I will save the weak and helpless ones. I will bring together those who were chased away. I will give glory and fame to my former exiles, wherever they have been mocked and shamed. On that day, I will gather you together and bring you home again. I will give you a good name, a name of distinction among all the nations of the earth, as I restore your fortunes before their very eyes. I, the Lord, have spoken. And if you can't shout about that group of scriptures, there's something wrong with you. I'm here to tell you right now, these aren't things that are just going to happen in the sweet by and by. We're at a place in history right now, and I don't know if you can tell, but I got to preach this morning. There is a place right now that belongs to us, that we are at, that these things are happening in our lives. Come on, the door for your comeback is open. Hallelujah. The door to your comeback is open. Look at your neighbor and tell them that. Say, the door to your comeback is open. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The first thing I want to say to you about this is this. Don't fear the setback or the bad. Don't fear it. Some people think it's a bad thing to acknowledge things that are bad. However, nowhere where God did something in the Word that was of restoration were because things were good. A lot of times people see something bad rise up. I'm just going to tell you something. Setbacks are a part of life. You know why? Well, we're going to get to that. I don't want to give it away yet. Setbacks happen. Bad things happen. They do. And a lot of times people get scared and they don't want to talk about it. Johnny Cash, he's real spiritual, said this, you build on failure. You use it as a stepping stone. Close the door to your past. You don't try to forget your mistakes, but you don't dwell on them. You don't let it have any of your energy or any of your time or any of your space. Setbacks happen, folks, but here's the good news this morning. Setbacks don't come from God. Setbacks don't come from God. Some people sit there and say, well, where'd they come from then? Well, the truth is, there is somebody else out there who's doing his best to try and take you away from what God has designed for you. Now, that's just one place setbacks come from. Setbacks come from somebody else who's doing his best to try and get you off track from what God's called you to do. Other places they come from are choices that we've made that take us off the path to destiny. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4. Now, I want you to see this because this is important. A lot of people think, well, people tell you God's in control. God's in control of everything. No, he's not. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4. Look at this. Satan, who is the god of this world. Now, that bothers people right there. But that's the truth. And if you have a problem with it, talk to Paul. Satan, who's the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Now, if you're writing in a Bible this morning, or you got a Bible, underline those words, don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. God doesn't cause setbacks because God doesn't lead backwards. A bad trial is not God telling you something. One amen. All right. A bad trial is not God telling you something, and it's also not a sign that faith in God's word doesn't work. A bad trial is not a sign that what is happening to you is what God wants to happen to you. It's a sign that there's a devil in this world, and he can't just run roughshod over you, but what he's doing, he's trying to get you to believe something else than what God says. It's an opportunity to blind you so that you'll stop believing God and his words and start believing something else. Come on, say the door to your comeback is open. We don't need to be afraid of a setback. That's an opportunity for me to start believing something else. If I choose to believe something else, then guess what I'm doing? I'm now becoming blinded to what God wants to do for me. If you are deciding to believe something else, you are now under the godship of people in of the god of this world. These are not fun things to talk about. But he's the god of this world, Satan is, because he's blinding those who don't believe. So when you choose to believe something else, you're putting blinders on that allow you to see something other than what God's got for you. If you talk to somebody who's really in the throes of a trial or a tribulation or a hard time, what's usually coming out of their mouth? I don't know what's going on. I just don't know. I just don't understand, and I just don't get it. And I mean, maybe God's not in the healing business anymore, or Maybe I've done something wrong, or maybe, and they immediately will throw themselves under the bus. And it's an opportunity for them to get blinded, and they will put on blinders of doubt and unbelief that'll keep them from seeing themselves the way God sees them. Come on, say the door to your comeback is open. Now, I want to say this, just because we're not afraid of it also doesn't mean that we should just ignore it. Mark chapter 11, verse 23, Jesus actually said these words. He said, I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain. this mountain. Not just some mountain out somewhere. I don't know. I'm sure there's a mountain somewhere. I'm just going to speak to all of them. He says, speak to this mountain. And a lot of people don't want to talk about what's going on around them. They want to ignore it and act like it's not there. And that's not what faith does. The fact is, if we're going to take what Jesus told us to do and speak to this mountain, but you're not going to acknowledge this mountain, then that means that you're speaking to nothing. A lot of people think that faith is just this big catch-all, and I can just speak things out and speak to things. What are you speaking to? Well, I mean, it's just like a magic bullet. It just kind of goes wherever it's supposed to go. No, Jesus says speak to this mountain. I don't need to go and imagine something or try and say something that's not there. Let me tell you something. When I went through my bout in the hospital late last year, and they told me what was going on, and it was an infection, and I would lay in bed at night, and I would speak to that infection and command it to go and say, you can't stay here. I didn't just sit there and go, we don't talk about the infection. We just don't acknowledge it. We don't give it. No, ignoring it didn't do me any good. And here's how I know. Because when I went in to have my band removed, the doctor went in there and said, man, you are full of inflammation. Now, I don't mean to be gross, but he said, you were full of sterile pus. Meaning this, all the infection was dead, but the inflammation was everywhere. You know why? Because I didn't know there was inflammation that I needed to be speaking to. And so he went in there and he said, I scraped it off like scraping your window off when it's frosted over. Yeah, I was like, thank you for that. And the thing about it is I was just, I might as well ignoring it or choosing not to know about it or whatever. I was allowing that to just run roughshod and inflammation everywhere. And so the thing about it is what we do know we're going to speak to and what we're going to speak about and what we're going to command to leave, and we're not afraid of it, and yet we're not going to ignore it either, because when we speak to it, come on, it has to go. And so all the infection was gone, but something I didn't know was there stayed. Okay? Acknowledgement of something bad doesn't give it any more power than it already has. Just because you acknowledge something is not giving it any more power. It already showed up. Yep. You're not giving it any more power by noticing it. Something doesn't feel right there. Now it suddenly has all this power. No. The reason you feel it is because that's all the power it has. You're not giving it any more power. All right? When you give it more than just acknowledgement, and you start giving it props, if you will, you start talking about how big it is, or how painful it is, or how awful it is, and you start building. Now, what are you doing? You're giving it actually more power than it has. So I don't ignore it, but I'm not going to pour gasoline on it either. I'm not going to pour fertilizer on it. I'm not going to encourage it to grow. But I am not going to ignore it, okay? Setbacks come not from being overpowered. Now, y'all need to catch this. Setbacks come not from being overpowered, but by overwhelmed with believing something other than what God's told us is true. Setbacks don't come from being overpowered. A lot of people want to give the devil and setbacks all the power. He doesn't have any more power. So when he comes against you, it's not like he just overpowered and forced you into something. Come on, somebody. It's because you were overwhelmed with believing something other than what God told us is true. The truth is, I see you, mountain. I see you, but you got to go. Now, how do you know which mountain? How do you know which mountain you're going to talk to? If I'm going to come back from something, I need to know what I'm coming back from. So I would encourage people, you got symptoms, go get a diagnosis and get it checked out. Go get them, let them tell you what it is. Don't be afraid of what it's called. You're going through something? Find out. What do they call that? Cancer. Don't speak that over me. Ain't nobody speaking that over you. They're just telling you that's what you're feeling. That's what you're seeing. Go find it. Go find out. Don't be afraid to call it bankruptcy. Don't be afraid to call it addiction. Don't be afraid to call it trials and tribulations, whatever they are. Don't be afraid of those words. Don't be afraid of what it's called. Why? Because those names are irrelevant because His name is higher. Amen. We don't talk about that. We don't say that. We don't even want to look over there. I'm going to acknowledge it. It's just not, nope. People are going through something and somebody walks up to you and says, how's this going? And you go, oh, thanks. Why you got to talk about it for? We can look at it and not be afraid. Things happen. They do. Nothing promises that things aren't going to happen. There's no promise in the Bible that bad things aren't going to happen. That's not what the promise is. The promise is, come on, they have to go. They have to be removed. And we win over them. Okay? Come on, say it again. The door for the comeback is open. I'm not afraid of it. Why? Two reasons. Why can we allow those big words to have those big things to have a name? Why? I mean, why can't we be afraid of it? I mean, those are pretty big things. The first reason, if I'm going to come back from something, I got to realize He is with me. Amen. Psalm chapter 23, verse 4. Yay. That's King James right there. Yay. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you, come on somebody, are with me. Amen. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, I know when we see the words, you are with me, that word with me, that's pretty plain English. But if you really go and look at it, look it up, it means beside me or upon me. So it's not like He's just kind of close to me like this podium is. No, I mean, He is literally right next to me. Amen. Upon me. You know, I heard a minister tell a story one time that he was out in his parents' garden, and the neighbor kids were, or neighbor older kids, they were like late teenagers, but they were out there, and he said they would come over all the time and pick on him. And he said every day he would try and, you know, run and hide and allow them to kind of have their way with him. And he would go and hide, and he would run and hide. And he was trying to keep, you know, it was like Forrest Gump, you know. And he was trying to keep things from happening. And he said, you know, and he would never talk back to them. He would almost see them or hear their voices and just real quietly slip away and get away from them. And he said, one day they beat him up real good. And so his mom and dad, you know, got him and was fixing him up. And they said, don't you ever be afraid of somebody like that. You stand up for yourself. And don't let somebody like that pick on you and push you around and do that. And he was like, that's easy for you to say. You're not there. And he said, the next day, or a couple days later, he was outside playing. And he said, they were, now this is the Deep South. they were out playing, and he said he was out playing, and he heard those guys coming, and he started to get up and run away, and they saw him, and they started yelling at him. And he's like, oh, here it comes again. And as they got closer, all of a sudden, he heard behind him, ch-ch-ch. And his mom was standing behind him with a gun. This is the Deep South.
Yeah, that's right.
This has been years ago. And she's standing behind him, and she didn't say anything. She just standing there. He said, but as soon as I saw her right behind me, and I heard that, he said, boldness come upon me all of a sudden. He said, I stood up and said, you all get out of here and don't ever come back. And the thing about it is that's what this scripture paints the picture of. Come on, I'm walking through something, and there's something there, and it's ugly, and it's mean, and it could kill me, and all these other things. But all of a sudden, standing behind us, right over top of us, somebody bigger, stronger, more powerful, has every answer, every cure, can do anything, can move everywhere, can go without time and space, and it doesn't matter, and he's standing right there behind me. So what's supposed to happen? What are we supposed to take for that? Boldness should come upon you. And you ought to speak to it, because you're not facing that thing alone. Come on. The King of all kings, the name above every name, is standing right there beside you. Come on. He's with me. Come on. Say it. The door for my comeback is open. Now, I'm not afraid of it because he's with me. But then it's also because that name is irrelevant, because his name's higher. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 9. Therefore God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him, talking about Jesus, the name above every name. Now, I don't have to be afraid of a big name, because I know the biggest name. Now, this word above doesn't just mean floating over. Okay? It does mean over, but it also means beyond. But specifically, a name that is on behalf of someone with a lesser name, in defense of someone with a lesser name, or one who fashions a will and a work in someone with a lesser name that is beyond their own will. To stand by someone's side or intervene for someone. That's what this word over means. So in other words, we could read this scripture like this. He gave him a name that is working on your behalf, in your defense, has fashioned a will, it's W-I-L-L, will, and a work in you that is beyond your own will. It is, his name is standing right beside you to intervene when things are bad. I don't have to be afraid of the big words, the big threats. I don't have to be afraid of terrorism. I don't have to be afraid of crime. I don't have to be afraid of breaking and entering into my property. I don't have to be afraid of hurricanes. Come on. I don't have to. And they can name them anything they want to name them. I don't have to be afraid of diseases, even the ones there's no cure for. Come on, I don't have to be afraid of AIDS. I don't have to be afraid of cancer. Come on. I don't have to be afraid of anything that heart attacks. I don't have to be afraid of any of those things. I don't have to be afraid of bankruptcy. I don't have to be afraid of foreclosures. Come on, somebody. I don't have to be afraid of repossessions. I don't have to be afraid of getting fired. Come on, somebody. I don't have to be afraid of those things, because the name of Jesus is higher than those names. Come on, the door to your comeback is open, because that name has been given to us. That name has been given to us. And I don't have to walk through my life afraid of the bad. because those doors are wide open for me to walk back through and walk in. And you may be sitting here today going, well, I used to have this going on in my life, and I used to have that going on in my life, and I had things that, you know, and this just happened, and it took it all away. And I would go back to it, but I would go back to it, but you don't understand what it was like and the pain that I went through and what was going on with me and this, and they did this to me and they did that to me. And the thing about it is if you live in that fear of the bad, those doors close on your comeback. But the first step to you walking through those doors is you can't be afraid of the bad. Let me close with this little story. I was younger, really younger. 12, maybe, 13, just barely old enough to go to youth camp. And now, I grew up in the old Pentecostal church, you know. And they were some kind of fascination, especially at youth camps. People like to talk about demons. Lord, they talk about demons all the time. Demons this and demons that. And it's, if you grew up around Pentecostals, you know what I'm talking about here. It was just demon this and demon that. And I saw a demon here and I saw a demon there. And blah, 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 demon, demon, demon. It's like they made this big story out of nothing. And they so we're there at the camps, and, you know, somebody said they saw a demon out down by the by where we were having service. And we should all pray. So, you know, everybody got on their knees by their little bunks, and we're all just praying up a storm. And you'd think the counselors would have known better and be like, y'all, shut the lights off and get in bed. You're going to think demon when I put my foot right in on your hind end from not sleeping. You're going to be wanting to take a nap all day tomorrow when we're out running all day and doing all that stuff. Get in bed. But those guys just probably just sat back and laughed and went, bless their hearts. Anyway, so everybody's in there praying and stuff. And I remember that summer camp, I was scared to death. I mean, afraid. And I remember going home and being afraid that those demons had followed me home. And I was afraid that they were at my window, looking in my window. And I would lay there, wide awake, 12 years old, worried, sick. Now, I've always been a big kid. I mean, you look at me now and you think, have you always been that big? Well, not this big, but I was always bigger than everybody else. But even at 12 years old, being a big kid, I would sneak in my mom and dad's room and sleep on the floor because I was so scared. Just afraid. And one day, I was just laying in there, and I was trying to go to sleep. My mom and dad were mad at me because, you know, I was getting up, sneaking into the floor in their bedroom. And they're like, hey, you're 12 years old, son. You ought to be, you're big enough to pick up a house. Go ahead and just sleep by yourself, you know. And so I just was wrestling with it, and I could just I don't want to say I heard a voice or anything, but I know it was my mind just talking to me. Just, I'm right outside the window. I'm just right outside the window, knocking on the door, on the window. And then, you know, this is before scary movies. I was watching anything like that, nothing. I didn't never watched anything scary. And I was scared to death, and I was just laying there, and covers up around my, and I'm just, and I prayed, and I said, God, help me. I need to go to sleep. My mom and dad are so mad at me, and I can't sleep if the devil's outside my window. And I can't explain to you what happened to me, but something rose up on the inside of me, and I stood up and walked over to the window, and I stood there for a second, and I looked at that window, and I put my hands on my hips, and I was, you know, kind of waddling back and forth, And I just knew that if I looked through that window, he was going to be looking right back at me. And I would never be able to sleep again. Now, this is, again, before Freddy Krueger or anything like that. I mean, this is, and I'm just like, but something just rose up on the inside of me and said, look, he's lying. And I said it out loud. I don't know if my mom and dad heard me to this day, but I just said, well, if you're there, I'm not afraid of you. And I pulled the windows back and nothing was there. The thing about it is if you allow the fear of the bad to paralyze you, you'll stay helpless for the rest of your life. And you'll never walk through the doors of your comeback, and you'll die wondering what could have happened if you had really done what God wanted you to do. You say, well, I'm young, I'll come back one day. No, the time is now. Listen, when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he paved the way. And this is not just something that is just specifically for now. This is for the rest of your life, for all of our time here on earth. Those doors are always open. And whatever's been taken from you, come on, you can step through it right now and come back. Yeah, but what if it's waiting on me on the other side? It is waiting for you on the other side. What do you think you're going to walk on? Let that sink in for a second. What do you think you're going to walk on the other side of that door? Come on, the bad. Why? The Bible tells us that those things have been placed under our feet. And wherever the sole of my foot shall tread shall be mine. So guess what? It is waiting on me on the other side. But you know why? Because I own it. It's mine, and it can't do nothing else but do what I tell it to do. Come on, somebody. The door to your comeback is open. Step through it with no fear and walk all over that thing. The bad is defeated. It's time for you to come back. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Face it. It's there. But it can't hurt you. Face it. It's there. But it can't stop you. Come on. God is calling you back. Don't sit still and accept what's happened to you. These setbacks are not the end of you. It is not the end of your dream. It is not the end of your future. God wants you to come back from this.